I know there'll be a few other people coming, so we'll just listen to the bowl for a few minutes. And I'd ask that you just begin to become aware of your breath. Sorry, I'll speak up loud. Yeah, we can turn the fan off as far as I'm concerned.
That's somewhere in the middle of the room.
We went through this last time. Do you remember? We went through this last time.
We found it.
I thought they wrote that in, but maybe not.
Yeah. Was that switch, Shams?
Hmm.
Where was the switch?
Down there.
Okay.
I got everything except for the back.
I think it's okay, though, isn't it?
That leaves there. It's not as long as I think. Directions east, you know?
Yeah,
I thought
no
so.
Way.
Here?
Yeah.
Or is it there? There. I thought so too. Thank you. Let us rise and face the east and say the Sufi invocation together. You can put your hands like this in receptivity.
For the one, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being, united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance.
Over your face, bringing radiance to your face, and pour it over your body. Let us always remember we don't do these practices for ourselves. We are doing them as an offering for the world. So sit down, because I'd like to talk a little bit. I will read from Hazrat Inayat Khan's papers. I'm not speaking. Murshid will be speaking here, because we will continue with the rest of the prayers today. I would like to give you Murshid's words, which came into my hands just earlier this week from the archives in Holland. I'm quite certain I put my glasses here, and I think I might need them, so excuse me while I shuffle. There they are. The teachings typically would always be above our heads. We don't put them on the floor, typically. And I will tell you, having lived in India and visited many a monastery and living in monasteries, the teachings are even above the Buddha statue's head, because the teachings exceed the teacher. It's about the teachings, not the teacher. So, and also carrying them, we never. I've been instructed, you do as you wish, but not like this or like this, you know. Always at the heart. You always see them carrying the scriptures sort of draped over their shoulder because they're in those books. Now, let us see. Are you interested in this subject about the prayers of Inayat Khan? If you're not, we're also going to do breath practices. We have little time, unfortunately, but I would like to read this to you. This is titled The Different Gestures in the Prayers, Hazrat Inayat Khan, August 27th, 1926. I would like today to explain the meaning of the different gestures we make in our elevation service. He calls the prayers the elevation service. For every movement has a meaning. It must be understood that a prayer is not offered to God in order to give God the pleasure, but the prayer is offered to God in order to lift our own soul. How beautiful is that? I have the goosebumps. Does anyone else? Therefore, everything is connected with the prayers. I hear very often, well, I don't really do the prayers, or I don't like the prayers. I don't understand how one can be on this path and say that they don't. I don't really like the prayers. They don't resonate with me. Therefore, everything connected with the prayers concerns with oneself. If a prayer is only the feeling, it is not yet expressed. If the prayer is put in the thought, then it has gone one step further in expression. When the prayer is in words, it has taken two steps in expression. If the prayer is in movements, then it has taken three steps. Thought, spoken word, and movement. But a prayer of movement without thought is of no use, and a prayer without words is of no use, and a prayer in words with thought is of no use. And he's going through all the, and this and this and this, he's giving it all to us. And the prayer in thought without feeling is of no use. And that shows that the feeling first, and the thought is next, and the word next, and the movement next. That makes the prayer expressed fully. Now, I think this idea that he's given us four indications is significant. Four is the number of perfection. You may not know that. When standing for the prayers, one must fix one's gaze just in front of oneself. One must not look here or there, because it is possible that a person stands for the prayers but looks right or left. As long as he does not move his head, his mind, As long as he does not move his head, he does not mind, but the eyes are moving. But the eyes must be fixed first, because the eyes represent the mind. I've often taught in the meditations of the message class, you weren't there, but when you steady your gaze, your mind will follow. And when your mind comes into balance, the body comes into balance. So that's why meditation is either done with eyes closed, with an internal point of concentration, or frequently you see people open-eyed with their eyes fixed on a point of concentration. Because, and you know this is true, when you see people doing like this, they're very agitated usually, or upset or nervous, you know. So still the eyes. Make the eyes be fixed. The head must not do too much lifted up, because God is not only up in heaven, nor head must be bowed too much, down too much, because the spine must be erect in order to breathe properly. The movements must not be done stiffly. It must be made easily. And those who make their body stiff in raising hands and getting them down, they lose the influence of the effect of the prayer, which could enter every atom of the body. So, you know, raise us above the denseness of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship. None of that. Raise us above the denseness of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship, and to thee do we give willing surrender. The whole body is involved in prayer. I'm going to read only a little further. This is a very extensive paper, and I'm also going to do my public service announcement, because I know some of you have been following these teachings. We have made up these little booklets here. And this paper is in this booklet, along with all of the prayers, along with the gestures to the prayers, along with the paper of the Path of Initiation, along with web links of all of the original, original papers published of Hazrat Anayat Khan, the Wahida Deen site, the site where these teachings are being published. It's all there. But we're asking for a contribution of $10. So that's my public service announcement. But there's a lot in this little packet, let me tell you. So he says, raising the hands upwards. And you know, you can make these gestures as we're talking. This can be, you can be involved in this. So he says, raising the hands upwards. Help, do it. Raise the hands upward. That is raising the ideal of God high in one's estimation. And taking hands downward is saluting the ideal. Raising the ideal. What, your ideal. Your ideal of the divine. And saluting. Offering our salutation. Bending and putting one's hands on the knees is the thought of surrender to the will of God. Resignation to God's will. And raising oneself from that position is the thought of being raised by God after the surrender. Putting one's hand on the left side is acknowledging that the heart is the temple of God. And putting one's hand on the then taking the hand of the right side to acknowledge that my soul comes from the divine source. So there's a gesture in the prayer we're about to do that does this. Making the sign of the cross . This is not myself. This is the temple of God. This is not myself. This is the temple of God. Again, saluting to the perfection of God is the same salutation as the second gesture, and it is the same gesture again. Then one raises one's hands heavenwards, means asking for blessing, asking for help. And joining the hands together means asking for the greatest thing there is, not only help, not only blessing, but communication, unity with God. And making God as oneself, as one cup. Besides, the hands are toward the one. And that means the prayer offering. What is it? The offering of this cup is within. It is not held like this. So it's not held like this. But like this. And Murshid is said to have lowered his hands at the level of the navel. That God is within, therefore it is held before oneself, and then afterwards, making the hands in this way is only a means of exaltation that is received in the prayer. So, he says, by this we are bringing the offering of the prayers held in the cup of these two hands to the temple of God, which is the body. When hands are on the knees, it is surrender. Just like showing I am little, I am small. It is a comparison. It is making oneself small. When the hands are down below, that is, this is a kind of desire to come towards you, towards God. It is like a bird would make its wings like that in order to fly. It is a kind of attempt to go towards God, to approach God. And at the same time, it is a salutation. Joining of palms is the getting the soul and the body both together. That means it is not only physical body, but my soul. That my soul and my body are before you, raising hands to in front. That means I raise God to my highest comprehension. And then there's a note. And you notice the English was a little awkward. These are original words, not edited words. So there's a note here. And it says notebook, NB. The numbers and words within parentheses I have added. This is one of his secretaries. In order to make clear the gesture Murshid made in showing us how to do it. And then the numbers correspond with those accompanying the drawings of the movements of the prayer in the little book, Form Your Reads, signed Sakina. And I would ask that you just reflect a moment, because I know people maybe didn't come here to hear me read, but these are Murshid's words. And you have to consider that these have been locked away. Locked away in the archives in a whole other country. And for some reason, because I've been teaching on the prayer, it came like this, that the secretariat in Holland would send these to me this week. You have to ask yourself why. Could it be Murshid wanting us to hear these words in America? Has he reached across the great Atlantic to teach us? I really hope you're not bored by this, but that you feel his love coming to us. In 19-whatever, he came to America, and he planted a lot of seeds, and those seeds have scattered and flourished in a number of ways. And yet we haven't heard these words. Those that feel called, and there's some of you I know, pioneers in resurrecting this vibration here in America. And one should never take up the task as if it's a drudge. Oh, I have to do those prayers. But as an offering, not again for oneself, for all of humanity. Is that right, Mercy?
That's right, Maria.
So we're going to rise and we'll say the prayer psalm, which is the morning prayer. And if you do not know the words, it's quite all right. Some of us do. And I would just only ask that you listen with a receptive heart. And then we will say the prayer Salat, which is the noon prayer. And you will notice the difference between the two. The morning prayer has many, many gestures to it. This is a waking up. This is like a rag to an invocation of the divine and all of the elements that have been sleeping and resting through the night. And then the second prayer is at noon. It's given, prescribed at 11:55, although sometimes we can't do it then. We do them now, together. I do them in the morning sometimes. I'm teaching at noon myself at the college, so I can't start doing the prayers. But we can do them, and you will see there's less gestures. And then in the evening prayer, there's really no gesture, a stillness. So there's a beauty to understanding that too.
that we've, if you watch nature, very, very busy in the morning, waking up, singing, moving around, feeding, stretching, bathing, all of that. And then when the sun reaches its zenith, people start, you know, in most countries, that's when they have their lunch and their siesta or their break. And then there's a little more activity about 4 o'clock to the evening, and then people go home and rest. So the prayers are in that kind, orchestrated in that way. Okay. So I'm going to also face the east, but when there's significant gestures that shift, I'll turn towards you to indicate that.
Praise be to thee, most supreme God, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-pervading, the only being.
I might want to go back just a little bit. Okay, thank you. The only being. Everything comes together. One line, the Aleph, the beginning of Allah, one. We see the one. The only being. Take us in thy parental arms. Raise us from the denseness of the earth. Thy beauty do we worship, and to thee do we give willing surrender. Most merciful, left hand over right, the passive supporting the active. Where were we?
Most merciful.
And compassionate God,
the idealized Lord of the whole humanity, thee only do we worship, toward thee alone do we aspire.
Open our hearts towards thy beauty. A left hand, right hand comes to the left, acknowledging the heart. Illuminate our souls with divine light, acknowledging the soul. Why do Sufis hug like this? Such a silly thing. Oh, it's a balanced hug. No, it's I'm hugging with my heart. I'm hugging with my soul. This is the meaning of this, the esoteric meaning. Open our hearts towards thy beauty. Illuminate our souls with divine light. And then the gesture, this is not my body. This is the temple of God. So we go from left to right, and we think that phrase, this is not my body. And then up to down, this is the temple of God. And why do we make this gesture? This is the line of limitation. If you've studied mandala or yantra, you know this. The line of limitation and the transcendent into the eminent. Bringing the perfection, drawing it across the line of limitation, breaking the line of limitation, becoming an instrument of the divine. Can you hear me? O thou, who art the perfection of love,
harmony, and beauty,
all powerful, remember, joining with God, uniting, all powerful, creator, sustainer, a judge of our shortcomings. Lord God of the East, we look that way, and of the West,
of the worlds above and below,
and of the seen and unseen beings. Pour upon us thy love and thy light. Give sustenance to our bodies, hearts, and souls. Use us for the purpose that thy wisdom chooses, and guide us on the path of thine own goodness. Draw us closer to thee every moment of our lives, until in us be reflected thy grace, thy glory, thy wisdom, thy joy, and thy peace. And then again, you take the blessing. You bring the radiance of the divine into your face, your glance, your speech, your eyes, your hearing, your mouth. You think of all of those things. And then you pour this blessing through and over your being. And then we will say now the prayer Salat. Most gracious Lord, Master, Messiah, and Savior of humanity, we greet thee in all humility. Thou art the first cause and the last effect. The divine light and the spirit of guidance, Alpha and Omega. Thy light is in all forms, thy love in all beings. Now here, we're going to recite a whole list of prophets. The first list are the divine emanation that has come from the East. And the second list is the divine emanation that has come from the West. You have to remember, Anayat Khan was uniting East and West. The message was for humanity to unite all people in love, harmony, and beauty. So he's very conscious of bringing these names in. Now some people say, oh, there are no women's names. It should be that way. There's something very subtle that exists in the silence. And so as we recite these prayers and we say these names, take a moment and breathe in all of the dimensions. Unmanifest, manifest, masculine, feminine. Take a moment and breathe in and tune to the vibration of those beings. You know, the prayers aren't, okay, now let's do something else. You can see, I hope, a little bit maybe the meaning here. So with hands like this. Allow us to recognize thee as Rama, as Krishna, and breathe in. As Buddha, as Shiva, let us know thee as Abraham, as Solomon, as Zarathustra, as Moses, as Jesus, as Muhammad, and in many other names and forms, known and unknown to the world. We adore thy past. Thy presence deeply enlightens our being. And we look for thy blessing in the future. O Messenger, Christ, Nabi, the Rasul of God, thou whose heart constantly reaches heavenward, thou comest on earth with a message as a dove from above, when dharma decay, and speakest the word that is put into thy mouth as the light filleth the crescent moon. May the star of the divine light shining in thy heart be reflected in the hearts of thy devotees. May the message of God reach far and wide, illuminating and making the whole of humanity as one single brotherhood in the fatherhood of God. And then bringing that radiance into the face, thinking body, speech, and mind, blessed with this. And then we say, so today I'd like to thank you for coming. I saw you in the kitchen and I wasn't sure you were going to make it at all. Thank you for being here. So I would like to clarify the difference between purification breaths and elemental breaths for those that are doing the practices. And I'd like to read again from Murshid's papers. And I'll start with the end, so I know I'll have your attention. Murshid says that the exercise that we're about to do, this is a purification breaths. The exercise is the basis of many esoteric exercises and should be mastered before you can understand further mysteries. The exercise, is the basis of many esoteric exercises and should be mastered before you can understand further mysteries. Have your interest? So these are Murshid's words again. Hazrat Nayak Khan. This is done before breakfast. Standing in a relaxed position, preferably in the open air or in front of an open window. The feet are stable on the ground. The knees, shoulders, neck, and jaws are loosened. Inhalations and exhalations are done rhythmically in a restful, quiet manner, slower than the usual breath, yet slightly fuller. So it's a slow breath, but it's not a shallow breath. It is important to discover the natural rhythm of one's breath. While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving, so on the in-breath, on receiving, and on the out-breath, radiating the divine power in space. While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. No one wants to hear that again? Usually it's like, read it again. Thank you, read it again. Listen to this. And again, I want to tell you, this teaching only recently came also. It's like a treasure box has been opened. And these things are flying across the Atlantic to us here. Yeah? While inhaling and exhaling, one's thoughts are focused on receiving, inhaling, and radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies, and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold. And given in Piero Murshid's own words, he says, while inhaling, we reflect internally on the phrase, I inhale divine light, L-I-G-H-T, and life. I inhale divine light and life, and on the exhale, I radiate the same. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same. There are four breaths in this complete cycle, four movements of the breath. Each movement is done for 5 inhalations and exhalations. On this particular practice, no etheric breath is done. If you've received the practice in that way, either from me or someone else, you please listen to Murshid's instructions and try to do it this way if you are compelled to do the practice, which I hope you are. Who wouldn't want to be radiating the divine power in space, which purifies and revivifies and which inspires and enables the soul to unfold? Man, he's telling us we can really get somewhere with this practice. That's a pretty big thing to say publicly again and again to you know, you think he wasn't delivering it? So we have to do it. But this is the 15-minute mark, I think, yeah? So we'll stand and do the practice. You want to? I will take us through the cycle of breathing, and we can kind of stand in a circle. And you'll start to, you may, as you're doing your own breath, start to feel a kind of a collective energy, so you can come a little closer here, even, and we can be more of in a circle. So the feet are stable on the floor. Remember, he says the face and the jaws are relaxed. This practice is typically done with the eyes closed, and everything is just open and relaxed, arms by the side. And he also says, standing erect, but not stiff. And he also says, the jaws relax. So everything's very relaxed and open. And the first breath is in the nose and out the nose. So the breaths move in different directions. It's a kind of internal yoga, moving the breath throughout the body. So it's like we do yoga, these asanas, with the external body. But of course, those that do yoga also know there's breath that goes along with each movement. But this is a kind of, we're still, the asana is very still, yet we're standing, we're awake, we're alive, it's not corpse pose. But we're doing this internal yoga with the breath. So think of it in that way. And he said to breathe slower than normal, and yet also fuller than normal. So the breath is in the nose and out the nose. And we concentrate on the phrase while breathing in. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same as we exhale. And I'll say it for a few times, and you can just follow with your breath. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same, breathing in and out the nose. I inhale divine light and life, and I radiate the same. The next breath is in the nose and out the mouth. So while the first breath was spreading, this breath is descending. So you breathe in the nose and out the mouth. A slow, deliberate breath in and full, and then a release. And we breathe in the phrase, I inhale divine light and life. And we breathe out, I radiate the same. And the next breath is in the mouth and out the nose. And this is, obviously we breathe in the mouth and out the nose. The motion is ascending. It's a vertical motion upward. In the mouth and out the nose on the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and out I radiate the same. And the next breath is in the mouth and out the mouth. It's as if we're expanding in all directions, full, open. In the mouth and out the mouth, inhaling the phrase, I inhale divine light and life, and out, I radiate the same. then Mercia prescribes the prayer Nyas, which is a blessing prayer and also a purification prayer. And this is how he has prescribed it. Standing with your, again, arms relaxed, feet stable, erect. You will do it three times, so if you don't get it the first time, you'll be able to catch it. You know the prayer if you're a practitioner of this path. The prayer is breathing in the phrase, Beloved Lord, Almighty God, and breathe out through the rays of the sun, and then breathe in through the waves of the air, and breathe out through the all-pervading life in space, and you breathe in, purify me and revivify me, and hold your breath, and I pray and release and infuse your body with this blessing. Heal my body, heart, and soul. So this prayer was not given aloud only in the healing service. This is meant for breathing practice and concentration on the thought, on the wind, the wind horse of the breath. So I'll say the words for you so you can catch it. You breathe in. Beloved Lord, Almighty God. And breathe out through the rays of the sun. And breathe in through the waves of the air. And breathe out through the all-pervading life and space. And you breathe in. Purify me and revivify me. And you hold your breath. And I pray and release. Heal my body, heart, and soul. And again, only on the breath, not reciting the prayer. Breathe in. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, and breathe out through the rays of the sun, and breathe in through the waves of the air, and breathe out through the all-pervading life and space. Breathe in, purify me and revivify me. Hold your breath, and I pray and release and infuse your being. Heal my body, heart, and soul. And now if we could spread out a little bit, I'd also like to offer you one more practice that is usually done in the morning. This is also prescribed by Hazrat Inayat Khan. And I will demonstrate for you, and then we'll also do this practice three times. He had people do the practice three times. This is a blessing, and it's for purification, and it's for protection. You know, there are a lot of vibrations for which we need to fortify ourselves. I would not say reject them, because some of us are intended to transform them. But we must be fortified. We must, like a lighthouse, radiant, stable, and can endure the crashing waves. So think of yourself in that way, and think of this practice. Again, it's in this packet. All of this is in that packet. Nothing is secret. So I'll say it, and you can watch, and I'll sort of say, we'll inhale, we'll hold, we'll exhale. So while we're inhaling, we're raising our hands outward as if the salutation to the sun. You can do the motions if you like. But the phrase breathing in is, I come from the perfect source. I am bound to the perfect goal. And then while we're holding our breath, we say the phrase internally, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. And as we breathe out, we do this. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. So I'll say the words and you can breathe in. I come from the perfect source and I am bound to the perfect goal. Hold your breath. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul, and exhale. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Breathing in. I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being, holding your breath, is kindled in my soul and out. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. And the last time, I come from the perfect source, and I am bound to the perfect goal. Goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Face the east again, and we'll say the last prayer, which is usually the evening prayer, but they can be done together. Actually, there's a whole path of called the confraternity. Thank you. And there are people around the world that their main concentration are these prayers, and they're said collectively along with these other prayers, secondary prayers. They're not secondary, but they're said after them. It's a society that Hazrat Inayat Khan established to hold the concentration of prayer. And in that way, you have to understand that he gave this around the world as he traveled. So someone was always saying these prayers. It's like the huge prayer wheel going around the planet. So there was this whole course, there is still in Europe, this whole dedication to the confraternity, just the concentration of the prayers. So hands like this again, in this gesture, left over right. O thou, who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Send us the peace of thy divine spirit and unite us all in thy perfect being. Blessing the radiance into the face, and with Amin, pour it in and over your being. May you have a blessed day. Thank you for being here. I'm only here for one more morning, so anyone that was anticipating I can catch it later. Let them know. They want to catch it. Come on. Tomorrow morning. Thank you.
There's anyone in the room that has.